speed. Brother BJ is in the mountains on vacation, and that's why I'm here this morning. Be in prayer for them. They're going to come back tomorrow. He needs some prayer, traveling grace, and that's where he's at this morning. We'll dive into 1 Samuel. We'll have a good time. We'll talk about the Lord, and we'll just see what he can do. 1 Samuel chapter 30, starting in verse number 1, I would ask you, if you will, stand again as we reverence the reading of God's Word. I'm sorry I didn't already tell you to stay standing. This morning, the title of the message is this: How Will You Respond? How will you respond? We're about to read a passage of Scripture where David is fleeing from King Saul. And David is in a time where he's got to respond one way or another in church family this morning. The world we live in, the church family we have, it's time for us to respond one way or another. So this is what the verse says. We'll read verses 1 through 3 and then verse 6. Starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day," that was their capital, or where their home was, "that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way." Verse number 3, "So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives." If you'll skip to verse 6 for me, we'll read this scripture. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." It says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am thankful that this morning we are at a time, we're at a crossroads, we're at a place in our lives, in our Christian walk, where we have to respond to the Word of God. And I am thankful for this example of David. God, I pray this morning that we wouldn't see just David, we would see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we see King Jesus. Lord God, I am thankful for this church family. I'm thankful for the opportunity to worship Jesus Christ high and lifted up. Thankful for that high priest that you are, God, that we no longer have to step foot in front of somebody. God, we can come to the man himself, Christ Jesus. And I pray this morning that we will lay everything beside us, God, that we would get the sins of the world out of the way. We'd get the crime, the chaos, the situations that we are going on, God, that we would remove those things from our vision and we would set our eyes straight on you. God, I'm thankful that you blessed our church with the ability to stand and reverence the Word of God. Thankful for the ability to stand and reverence who you are. And I'm praying this morning that you would be in this mess, you'd be in this message, God, you'd be in this church house, Lord. I pray this morning that we would not see JD, we would not see Union Chapel, God, we would see Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I pray this morning that you would keep us safe, give us no rain as we are here this morning. God, I pray no rain tonight as we come back. God, I love you. God, I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for the Bible. I'm thankful for the examples you give us. And I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. I love you and I thank you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you may be seated. This morning, we have to respond to the Word of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we see David and his army. I just told you that Ziklag was David's capital or David's hometown. And David has just been ordered away from battle. He's been ordered to go back home and to rest. And he encounters something that you would call danger, you would call destruction, you'd call chaos, you'd do all those things. He comes back to his hometown and it's burned to the ground. And I believe that we can take something from that and from 1 Samuel 30 in our lives, that sometimes we're trying to rest, we're trying to be comfortable, and sometimes in our lives there's destruction, There's chaos, there's loneliness, there's confusion, there's anger, there's depression. Brother BJ has said it more than once in this pulpit, and I believe I'll say it one more time, that every single person in this parking lot, every single person under this awning, every single person that you come in contact with has suffered from depression at one time. Some people have to take medicine for it, some people don't have to, but they have suffered from depression and loneliness and anger and all those type of things that are from Satan. But this morning, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask myself a question. And that question is, how can we respond to what life throws us? And this morning, I ask you, church, how will you respond when life throws you a curveball and life throws you bad things? And we see, David, there's three different things. There's three different ways we can respond that David talks about in 1 Samuel 30. And the first thing we see is in verse number 3. There's two bad ways we can respond and one good way. We'll start with the two bad. Number one, we can respond by having chaos in our home. Now we see in verse number 3, we'll read it in just a minute, when David comes back home, he comes back trying to rest, comes back to wanting to see his family, you'll see that he doesn't get to do any of those things. In verse number 3 it says, "So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive." Can I tell you something, church, this morning, that Satan wants to respond as well. Just because we respond in a good way, or we respond in a bad way, Satan himself will want to respond to how you respond. I may have, kind of made it sound confusing, but Satan himself, the devil, from the pits of hell, he wants to respond in your life. He wants to make your life chaos. He wants to make your life miserable. And just like in verse number 3, when David and his army comes back home, they come home to absolute chaos. In verse number 3, it says that their families were taken away. It says in verse number 2, they had taken the women captives, and they slew not either great or small, but carrying them away. So you see, the people that taken them away were the Amalekites. And you can go back in Exodus, you can go back in previous chapters of the Bible where the children of Israel, God's chosen people, and the Amalekites had battled back and forth. They have done, and you can see the Amalekites are nothing but people from Satan. They want to do nothing but destroy the children of God. And when they had come to Ziklag, when they came back to the capital where David and his army were, you'll see that they make chaos in the home of somebody else. I want to ask you something this morning, church. In your home, is there chaos everywhere? In your home, has Satan tried to pull something on you? Has Satan tried to steer your vision this morning from God Almighty? Has he taken away that joy of your salvation? That's what he did with David. And I promise you, he'll do it with us. Your family may have been taken. They may have been taken. In your home, you may see addiction. You may see disease. You may see things that are from the enemy. They may be from Satan himself. They may be a distraction. There may be something this morning in your life. When you go home today and you have to leave this church house, and you may have to enter something you may not want to enter, but I promise you one thing, God's there. This morning, church, we're talking about being chaos, we're talking about destruction, but don't ever leave God. Don't ever give up on God. There's one thing, when I go to a funeral or I go to somewhere where there's been destruction, the thing that comes on my mind is do not give up on God. There's been a lot of death in this church, a lot of death in our family. There's been a lot of death around this community. And the only thing we can do is we can look to God. We don't know the answers. I know one thing, I don't know the answers. I can't give you none. I can't tell you why God takes good people. I can't tell you why God takes bad people. I know it's His plan, though. I know that we can only, like Proverbs chapter 3 says, lean on His understanding, lean on His wisdom, trust in God. And when chaos comes in your home, church, I want you to lean on God. And that's what David's trying to do. He has, through his, when he gets back home to his capital, he sees that not only did he have chaos, but all the people in his army were in chaos as well. In verse number 30, or chapter 30, verse 2, "And David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And this morning, your family may be taken, but it also says that your fire may be tried. There's one thing in my life I try to do when I wake up in the mornings is, man, I try to give God everything I've got. It don't matter what comes my way, church. This morning, I didn't even want to get up. Man, last night was a long night watching the ball game and staying up too late and doing all those things. And went to bed late last night, got up early this morning, and one thing I didn't want to do was get up. Did not want to turn, did not even want to open my eyes, didn't want to come to church. Man, I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't want to come to church this morning. How shameful of me. How shameful of me to put my wants before God, the man who saved me, the man who died for me. And this morning, that's the same way with David, putting their things, putting their plans, putting everything that they wanted in front of God. And we see there's chaos in the home, that their family was taken away, like verse number 3 had to say. You may have lost your fire this morning, just like David goes back to his home and it's burned to the ground. Satan himself wants to come and take your fire. Satan himself wants to take, he wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy everything that's in your life. Every time I get up here and try to preach, I try to bring that verse up in John 10. The thief, Satan, the devil wants to come and steal everything you got. He wants to kill. If you don't believe me, church, you just step out on faith. You'll be tried. You'll see your world come crashing down. With Jesus, we have a man we can lean on. And just like the song said, we can lean on the everlasting arms. We can lean on somebody who's stronger than me, who's Jesus Christ. When David, he came and he saw, I can just imagine how he walked back, and almost back to his city, almost back home, almost back where he can go home and he can rest. He can see his family, all his men behind him just wanting to go home, take a load off, if you will, get some rest. You can just see smoke coming up from the clouds. It's a picture that I really would not want in my life, and it's not a picture I want to see in your life either. There's destruction coming if we believe on Satan. There can be chaos coming that you may have lost your fire. And even in this verse, even in 1 Samuel, you'll see that they gained physical fire and they lost their spiritual fire. It said they came back, and man, they were distressed, they were depressed, they were sad, they were crying. We'll go here in verse 4 in a minute, but it said they were crying. They couldn't cry no more. You see, there's chaos in the home, but verse number 4 says, you may have cried as well, church. This is what verse number 4 says. Not only do we have chaos in our homes sometimes, the second thing is we may be crying because there's no hope. I know one thing in my life, when I get down and I get out, the last thing I want to do is cry because I'm too tough. The last thing I want to do, and even saying that's kind of funny, because I'm nothing but a crybaby, honestly. When me and Holly started dating a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, the persona was, I'm going to be a tough guy. I'm not going to show my emotion. I'm not going to do none of those things. But in the past couple months, I've done nothing but cry in front of her. And that's the same way God does to us. Hey, we want to be tough. We want to say, God, we got it on our own. God, I've got this. I can handle this problem. I can handle the chaos that's in my home. I can handle all this coming at me. God says sometimes just lean on Him. That's what David should have done in verse number 4, but all he did was cry. This is what verse number 4 has to say. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You may have been crying because there's no hope. And I want to tell you, one time in my life I had no hope. And there was one time in your life, whether you want to admit it or not, there was no hope in your life. Before I met Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of my faith, I had no hope. I had nothing I could point to when the storms were coming. When the storms were raging and all hope was gone, I had nobody to turn to. I had no hope. But I want to tell you something this morning, church. If you believe on Jesus, if you've got salvation in your heart, you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you've got somebody to lean on this morning. Through the chaos of what David went through, through the crying, through everything, we'll see in just a minute, we had to turn to God. There wasn't nobody else that could handle it. His city was burnt to the ground. His home was destroyed. We saw that even all that power that David had, and you can go back in 1 Samuel and see that when he's fleeing from Saul, he responded with kindness. You can go back and read. I'm not going to take time to do it, but when Saul was chasing David, trying to kill him, when David had the opportunity to take revenge on Saul, you know what he done? He showed grace. He showed grace this morning. Church, if there's somebody in your life that may be giving you nothing but chaos, there may be some kind of situation, I don't know. The only person that knows is yourself. But if there's somebody in your life that you just can't love, you love them. If there's somebody in your life that you see that you just want to cry over, you want to know give revenge, and I promise you one thing, that's nothing but Satan. Revenge is Satan. Revenge is nothing but Satan. And when David came to this point, and throughout the scripture, when he had the opportunity to kill Saul, he showed grace. Church, I want you to show grace when you go to work tomorrow. I want you to show grace when somebody mouths off at you. I want you to show grace when somebody cuts you off and going to work. I want you to show grace in a time of need, just like God Almighty did to me. I show grace because God showed me grace. And this morning I want to challenge you to show grace because God's the only man we can trust. Because we may be having chaos, we may be crying, we may have lost all the power. And even in verse 4 it says, David and the men, they had no more power to weep. This morning you may have gotten to the point where you've lost all power. You ever been to a spot in your life where you just couldn't cry no more? You've cried so much, you've poured your heart out, you couldn't even cry no more. I feel like in those situations, when you're in the valley, that's when God shows up. Most of the time when I got a high head and I'm on top of the mountain, I ain't got time for God. And I feel like most of the time that's why God puts me in the valley. Because that's the only way I'll trust Him. So when you're in the valley, church, just trust God. Trust God even when you've got no power. Trust God even when you've got no pleasure. When David came back to Ziklag, and it says in verse 6, he was greatly distressed. And this morning I want to give you something. You may have lost all power. You may have lost all of your pleasure in Jesus' name. And I want to stop and slow down for just a minute and say this. There's a lie going on out there in the world today that we live in, and that's that there's no pleasure in Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie straight from hell. When I got saved, this is one of the things where I know I'm saved, because I have no memory of happiness before I got saved. Honestly, I can go back and I can try to picture in my mind things. But it was nothing but destruction, honestly. It was nothing but chaos. There was chaos in my home. But now that I put Jesus first, and now that I accepted Him, and even when I have lost all my power, I still got pleasure in Jesus. This morning, you may have lost your power, you may have lost your pleasure in Jesus because you haven't trusted in Him. And that's what Proverbs 3:5 says. I read it this morning. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Church family, this morning, putting your vision, and I pray that this morning, whatever your vision is, whatever my vision is, honestly, most of the time, that's not what God wants. God don't want me to get out. He don't want me to step in front of Him, by no means. Because with Jesus, I'm not supposed to lean on my own understanding. I've got a Savior in heaven that knows a lot more than I do. He knows a lot more. He knows a lot what's going on around my world. He knows what could help. He knows what can hurt. Most of the time when I step foot in, I usually hurt the situation. I usually step in and get out of line, and that's what David did this morning, or what he did in Ziklag. He lost his power. The enemy came at him, he lost it. They came at him, he lost his pleasure. This morning he lost all the people that were inside of his corner. Verse number six. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. He lost all the people, all of his army. He lost his people. Church family, this morning, is there somebody in your life that has fell by the wayside? Is there somebody in your life this morning that has gone astray, fallen out? Dude, they've done something. And it's usually because of what I've done, honestly. Just like David did in this scripture, he put, in the first part of this chapter, he put his wants before God. And this morning, most of the time, when I put my wants before God, I lose my power, I lose my pleasure, and I lose the people that's around me. When you've got sin in your heart, people don't want to be around you. When you've got sin that is so easily besetting you, as the scripture says, all people want to do is run from you. Brother BJ says, and if he doesn't have joy in his heart, he doesn't go out and he doesn't visit, he doesn't do none of those things. And I challenge myself every day, if I don't have joy in my heart, if I don't have joy of my salvation through God, I'm not going to go out and do nothing. And you may not get anything else this morning, church, but if you ain't got joy in your heart, don't go out to the world. There's one thing the world don't want to see, and that's chaos. There's one thing the world is looking for, and that's Jesus. They may not want to look for Him, but they're looking for Him. And this morning, if you don't have that Jesus on you, if you don't have that, if you're not clothed in that righteousness, you don't have the armor of God on, don't go try to put other people out of line. That's what I try to challenge myself. And even when David and his men came back home, what they done is they put their ideas, they put their wants, they put their needs before God. And it says in verse 6, they were greatly distressed. And church, when you put your thoughts and you put your actions and you put your wants before God, and when I put my thoughts and my wants and my actions before God, I'll be distressed. You can go back in verse number 6 through this, through the word distressed, it kind of translates back to being put in a tight corner, being put in a spot where you don't want to be. And this morning, when I put my wants before God, I'm usually put back in a corner. I'm usually between a rock and a hard place, as they say. And this morning, I want to challenge you to get my wants out of the way. Because Jesus Christ, He came to seek, He came to save those which were lost. And through what I've done, it's nothing. But what I've done through Jesus, I got it all. I've got a home in heaven, number one. And when I get to the point where I get the chaos out of my life, I get the crying out of my life, and I point people to Jesus, they'll want to be around me a lot more. Just like David did in his scripture in 1 Samuel 30, when the power left him, the pleasure left him, the people left him. And this morning, when the power leaves you, people don't want to be around you. When the pleasure leaves you, people don't want to be around you. They've got enough chaos and they've got enough distress in their own life. Usually when my friends don't want to hang out with me, it's because I'm moping. I'm down and out. And this morning, you may be down and out right now. Sitting in that car, sitting up here, I don't know. You may not have no hope in your life. You may have lost all that hope. But I promise you, there's one man who can get it back for you. And we see right here that through the chaos, through the crying, those are the two things I told you at the start that were not good ways to respond. The last thing this morning that we see is the good way to respond. There's a right and a wrong way to everything. There's a right way to read a manual when you're putting something together. There's a wrong way to read it too. That's throw it away. Do it on your own. Usually when I put something together, by myself, there's a couple of screws left over. And this morning when I put my life together by myself, there's usually a few things that are missing out. This morning we see the chaos, we see the crying, but the thing I want to settle in on this morning, I want to point to you, is that even through those times, and even when David had chaos and he had crying, it says at the end of verse 6 that he done something. And I want to challenge you to do this this morning, church. We must respond by consulting with the Lord. When all hope is gone, when the flesh is failing, that's the song, you're still holding on. When Jesus Christ Himself is in the midst of your situation, you can hold on. And that's what David had to do when he came back to his hometown and it was burned to the ground. And when his army came back and all their families were gone, they were kidnapped, they were taken away by the enemy, we've seen that David finally responded by consulting with God. Verse number 6, at the end of it, it says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." God is the only one who can make a bad situation good. Like I said, I preached it over and over. When I step in, it's usually bad. The song we sang this morning is, "Through the storm, though the storm is raging, you're still Lord of all." He is Lord, Lord of all. And this morning, if you don't hear nothing else, you may not listen to me. You may think I'm the worst preacher in the world, but if you don't listen to anything else, church, He's still Lord of all. The chaos, the confusion, the anger that when you leave this place, you'll see it. You go out and eat lunch, you go out and work tomorrow, you go to school, you'll do all those things. You'll see chaos. You'll see confusion. You'll see problems you didn't want to see. But He's still holding on to you. That's what David had to cling to. We must respond by consulting with God. And I asked myself when I was reading it, how can I consult with God? And David gives us two examples in verse number 6 and verse number 8 that we can encourage ourselves in Jesus Christ. It says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord." And I've said it one time, I'll say it again, Proverbs chapter 3, you got to trust in God with all your heart. You trust God with part of your heart, you don't trust Him at all. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. We got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And that's one thing I didn't really understand, is how can David encourage himself? But when I went back to read that verse, it didn't say that. It didn't say David encouraged himself, period. It said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Church family, you may be chaotic. You may well go home today. Your family may fall apart right in front of you. But hold on to God. We've seen when David held on to God, he's seen that the chaos, the crying, all those things, when he finally responded in a good way, not only did he have to encourage himself in the Lord, in verse number 8 it says this, that we must inquire of the Lord as well. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And He answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." And that's where I want to close at this morning, verse number 8. When we respond by consulting with God and we inquire of Jesus, we ask what His will is, not ours. When we ask what Jesus has to do in our lives, when we enter in that relationship, we enter in that conversation with Jesus, we'll see that all our problems usually are a little bit smaller. There's one thing I'm not going to do, church family. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that life's easy with Jesus. Oh, on the contrary. It says there's a lot more people coming at you when you're Jesus. And that's one thing I want to get to you this morning, is through this world, we have nothing. As a Christian, this world has nothing to offer for me and you. It's got nothing. We're not looking at the hope that we have is not on this earth. It's not on the things of this world. It's not on the football team. It's not on the way we eat. It's not on the things, the money we make. It's not on none of those things. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And when we leave this walk of life, church, and if you've got Jesus in your heart, you're going to the real hope. That's heaven. That's where you're going. If you ain't got Jesus, you've got no hope. If you ain't got Jesus, you've got no help. If you have not had Jesus this morning, you don't have a way to consult Him, you need to enter into a relationship with Him this morning. And you'll see that even though His home was burned straight to the ground, even though the crying, the chaos, everything that came his way, David trusted in God. This morning there's a lot of things through David, and I've been studying David for a while, is that there's times he messed up. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a couple of sins in there where you thought he was the worst person in the world, and by the way, David murdered a man. David committed adultery. David bared false witness to one another. He broke about 5 of the 10 commandments, and he's a man after God's own heart. Church family, it don't matter what you've done. You may have murdered somebody. You may have done something in your life you're not proud of. You may have done something in your life you're not going to tell a soul. Praise God. We've got a man in heaven making intercession for us. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. When we consult God, the bad things will turn to good. And when we turn to Jesus, we'll see that we'll have to respond in a good way. We'll have to respond to things of this world. We can't respond to those things. We'll have to trust in Jesus. And this morning, through everything. And this is where I want to settle down. I want to close. We'll pray. You may have chaos. You may have came home. In a spiritual sense, you may have came home and your place was burned to the ground. You didn't know where Jesus was. You didn't know where to turn to. You had no idea where to look. And you may this morning, may not have, like the verse says in verse number 4, you may not have no more tears to cry. You may not have a way to cry anymore. But you must consult God. You consult this world all you want. You can find anything. You can find pleasure in most things. But sin's fun for a season. I know I'm preaching the choir on that. You've heard it many times, but it's real. And through everything you do, church family, when you leave this place this morning, I challenge you in everything you do, consult God. Because He loves you. He died for you. He's the man above all men. The King above all kings. He wants to see your life prosper. You can go back to Jeremiah 29:11. He wants to see you prosper. God don't want to see you in hell. He created heaven for you. That's one of the things I cannot fathom. Is the God of this world loved me so much, He didn't want to be in heaven by Himself. That's how much He loves you. Consult God this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I love You. Thankful for the opportunity to preach, thus saith the Word of God. Thankful that we have a hope in Jesus' name, that we don't have to turn to this world. We don't have to turn to all these bad things that the world has to offer. Lord, I'm thankful for a man named Jesus. Thankful for God sending His only Son to die for me. Lord, if there's somebody in this place that has lost their hope, they've lost their joy, they've lost their power, I pray they'll fall right at Jesus' feet. They'll find trust in You. Thankful, God, we don't have to lean on our own understanding. God, we can lean on You. Bless this church in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will, stand. Soul. Being a friend. to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? This morning I pray that you have a great evening. Tonight we will have church. It'll be our first Sunday night back at 5 o'clock. Man, if you want to hear a blessing, you come back tonight. Brother Connor Robinson of our youth is going to be speaking. I know the Lord's going to anoint him straight from heaven. And I pray you'll come back, support him, love on him. You just enjoy Jesus today. Let's pray. God, what an opportunity we have to speak Jesus' name. Thank you that you love us enough to give us this place, give us this hope, give us a home in heaven, Lord. Lord, I'm so grateful to be called a child of God. Thankful my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thankful that this world has nothing to offer me. God, I pray right now for this congregation. You keep them safe, God. You love on them in Jesus' name. You just be with them through this night, Lord, that you'll give us the opportunity to come back tonight and to hear you speak one more time. Lord, I love you and I thank you. Bless Brother Connors. He's preparing, Lord. Give him calmness. Give him the Holy Spirit anointing, God, tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll bless Brother BJ as they travel back. Lord, I pray that you'll be with all of our members, Lord, wherever they're at. Lord, I'm thankful that we got a church family that loves Jesus and loves people. Please bless them all, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. All God's people said. Amen.